From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the Lord's Prayer as he brings the next portion of a message called Pardon for Sin. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The Outward, Upward Look. The text is Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. This is a promise of promises. It lies at the foundation of our spiritual life. Salvation comes through a look at Him who is a just God and a Savior. How simple is the direction, look unto me. How reasonable is the requirement, surely the creature should look to the Creator. We have looked elsewhere long enough. It is time that we look alone to Him who invites our expectation and promises to give us His salvation. Only a look. Will we not look at once? We are to bring nothing in ourselves, but to look outward and upward to our Lord on His throne, whither He has gone up from the cross. A look requires no preparation, no violent effort. It needs neither wit nor wisdom, wealth nor strength. All that we need is in the Lord our God. And if we look to Him for everything, that everything shall be ours, and we shall be saved. Come, far-off ones, look hither. Ye ends of the earth, turn your eyes this way. As from the furthest regions men may see the sun and enjoy his light, so you who lie in death's borders at the very gates of hell may by a look receive the light of God, the life of heaven, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, and therefore able to save.
Grace and love like mighty rivers. truth, thou dost direct me by thy Spirit through thy word, and thy grace, my need is meeting as I trust.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Dr. Cairns is dealing with the second division of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, with specific emphasis on the phrase, "And forgive us our debts." As Dr. Cairns has pointed out, the majority of the petitions for ourselves involve the matter of sin and its consequences in the lives of believers. Sin is a real problem, one which the Lord Jesus expects us to take seriously, for it constitutes the greatest hindrance to a Christian's prayer life. Yet the Savior also seeks to show that there is pardon for sin. And in the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will explain what we are asking for in praying for pardon. Now, to continue this message, pardon for sin, here is Dr. Cairns.
First of all, there are people in this meeting this morning, and you are not saved, and you know it. You have this great burden, like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, this great burden of sin, not merely strapped to your back as John Bunyan figured it or pictured it, but it is growing in your very soul, and it will weigh you down to hell. And if you go on the way you're going, excusing your sin, ignoring your sin, trying to drown your sin in the pleasures or the pursuits of the world, God will never clear your guilt away, and that sin will bring you down to the sides of the pit and the depths of eternal destruction. And you need today to recognize the reality of that sin and hear this truth. There is forgiveness. There is pardon. There is cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is acceptance with God on the ground of Christ's atonement. God stands ready to forgive. As the father in the parable of the prodigal son stood watching for the return of the parable and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and embraced him and put the ring of reconciliation upon his hand and brought him into the family and fed him and clothed him, so God in Jesus Christ stands ready to forgive. Forgiveness is not something a sinner must extort from God or force from God. It is something that the God of glory stands eager to bestow. You need to hear that today. You need to act upon that knowledge. Oh, he's ready to forgive. He is a plenteous mercy for all that call upon him. Heaven and forgiveness for all who will call upon him. If God said there would be heaven for everybody who would pay $1,000, people would bankrupt themselves to pay $1,000 to get to heaven. If you want to prove that, you just see how many millions people pay across America every year for the forgiveness of their sins, and they can't get forgiveness that way. I've often mentioned to the congregation here that there's a little place in Ireland. We traveled through it 3 summers ago on the rugged west coast of Ireland with the lashing waters of the North Atlantic battering that rugged coastline. There is what's called the Holy Mount. It really is just a glorified, well, not much glory about it. There's a rare beauty about the area, I suppose, but there's this very rugged hill. It's quite high for a hill. It is rugged because it's made up of these great rocks, and for some reason or other, it is called the Holy Mount. The religion of Rome has taught the people that if they walk up that mountain on a certain day of the year, they will get so much remission of sin. And especially if they will walk up that holy mountain barefoot, hurting their feet, shedding their blood, they will have so many more years remission of purgatory, so much more sin removed. And every year, there are thousands of people making the pilgrimage up Croke Patrick. What people will do to have their sins forgiven. And there is no forgiveness that way. But God says He stands ready to forgive those who will call upon Him, recognizing who He is and who they are. Will call upon Him, take Him at His word, receive the free gift of His pardon in and through the person of His Son and in the blood of Christ's atonement. Those who will call, He says, I will forgive. Think of that. The record clear. Sin put away. Nothing between your soul and God that would shut you out of His presence. The door of heaven swung open. The door into the kingdom open. Your place secure for all eternity. Your enjoyment of Christ secure. That's what God says. And yet some of you refuse to call. There are people here this morning. You've grown up with a Bible in your possession. Some of you have had to memorize this Bible, these passages of it, the truths of this Bible, the truths of this gospel. And instead of calling upon Christ, you've simply hardened your heart. And the more you know, the harder you've become. The more you know, the more indifferent you've become. The more you're told the way of life, the more you perversely choose the way of death. The more heaven is presented, the more set you are on the way to hell. If God were quick to give up sinners, there are people here this morning who would be already in hell. If God were quick to give up sinners. Just think of it. If God had said to some of you, I'm going to give you 5 years opportunity, there are people here who would long since have been damned. If God had said to some of you, I'll give you 10 or 20 years, there are still some of you who would have gone beyond it. I don't know how long the door of God's opportunity and mercy stands open, but I do know that He says, He is ready to forgive. He's plenteous in mercy to all those who will call upon Him. I urge you today to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise. I urge you to call. Will you call? But then we must remember that that places a responsibility on Christians. America is sinking in a great ocean of guilt. Guilt is driving this country. I'm not going to get into how it is doing it, but it is driving this country. And unfortunately, it is not driving men to Christ. It is driving them deeper into sin and further from God, right into the arms of Satan himself. And the only people who have the message that America needs are God's people. There's only one message America needs today. That's the message of Christ. Over the next few weeks, you're going to have Christians getting all bent out of shape as they produce and promote and propagate various political philosophies and various political ideas. And don't get me wrong, I'm all in favor of Christian politicians. My only gripe is that most politicians, when they get to Washington, forget that they're Christians. But listen, if you could put the Apostle Paul in the White House, don't think that would change America unless he did it through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only way it can be done. There is only one message for the inner cities and for the suburbs. There is only one message for black and white and rich and poor, and it is the message that there is forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, that there is an answer to the needs of the souls of man, there is an answer to the sins of the souls of man, there is a cleansing, a release, a pardon, a new beginning, there is life. That's the message. Christians have it. What should they do about it? They should go and tell it. That's what they should do. Message of hope. A message that commands men who are wicked to forsake their way, the unrighteous to forsake their evil thoughts, to return unto the Lord, and the promise, He will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. I think one of the great and terrible, one of the most shameful aspects of so much modern Christianity is the unwillingness of God's people to be vital witnesses to forgiving, pardoning, cleansing, saving grace. We've got to the stage where we must have everything so structured, so organized, so stylized, if I could use that word, that the spontaneous, joyous witness of a person's own experience of Christ is almost unheard of. We have got to the place where Christians want to live in a little glass house. They want to be protected from the world. And I'm not talking about from the wickedness of the world. I'm talking about putting such a barrier between themselves and sinners. They want to live this side of the tracks and let the world go to hell. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. We have a message of forgiveness. If they don't hear it from Christians, whom, I ask you in God's name this morning, I ask you on the authority of that book this morning, who is ever going to tell them? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? I could interject, how can they be sent if they don't know the gospel in their own experience? They're not forgiven themselves. Yet Christians sometimes will quote witness because it's their duty. They go on outreach. Now, I'm all in favor. This church has its outreach program, and we're in the process of revamping and renewing and enlarging it. So we're not against that. But there's something more than the mere structured outreach. There is something that you can do in your own home. There's something you can do in your own business, in your own contacts with men. And that is the spontaneous outpouring of your heart, of your experience, of your testimony. Christians going, telling of Christ. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.